You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Thank you so much. All you that prepare music, thank you. Then I'll let the orchestra come and join you. While they're doing that, I want to announce that this fall, the first Wednesday night of September, could you turn this up just a tad, please? September the 4th, we'll be beginning a book study on Wednesday night for the book of Galatians. And I hope that you'll be in prayer that God will use that. I believe on Wednesday nights this fall, I'm going to show you the stone of the day that I speak to the elementary kids. They're all going to have their stones I'm going to give them. 2 years ago, we looked at animals in the Bible. It helped me so much. And then last year was trees in the Bible. And I learned so much. I learned the difference for the first time in my life between the sycamine tree and the sycamore tree. And it was such a help. And we gave them things every week. We're going to give them stones this year. And I've studied so much. My binder is so thick about different things about these stones in the Bible. Especially this week, I've been studying about the 12 stones in the foundation. I'm actually going to show them the foundation. The first one, the chorale sang tonight, "If walls were not jaspers," that's the lower stone. It's a beautiful purple stone. And I'm going to try to reveal that to them so they can see it. We're building it. But stones have so many stories to tell us. The priest had 12 stones, and those stones, and then the heaven, the stones. And everything that God made tells a story. And I look forward to that. Looking forward to high school chapel. I've been preparing things that I believe I'm going to try to give my very heart to these kids more than ever. And then college as well, and the class that I teach. I love the privilege to serve God. And you know, tonight, I say that because we're going to lose another couple tonight, and that's the Castros. They'll be moving this week, and this is what our church is about, but it's very difficult. This is the fifth family in our church this summer out of our class. We had one family move to Thailand. We had one family to serve the Lord on the mission field. One family moved to Korea to serve the Lord, and we have them around, and Brother Jonathan and Elizabeth are going to work for Brother Andy Harrell in Murray, Kentucky. I'm very excited about it. You know, Brother Harrell is about, his middle name is Loyal. He called me months ago. He said, I'd really like to talk to the Castros. What do you think? I said, well, I don't like it because I don't like losing people. But I tell you this, this ministry sows and we reap. Maybe that's why college enrollment's way up this year. Maybe because we just keep sending them out. And they're going to go, Elizabeth's going to teach school. Brother Jonathan's going to start. And believe it or not, there's a lot of Hispanics in Murray, Kentucky. Brother Harold's given them an empty room and said, fill it up with Espanol people. And I'm going to miss you both greatly. That means all three of the Sousley girls and their mates and their mom and dad, graduates from Golden State and all in the ministry. On the East Coast, now in Kentucky, and over in Thailand as well. We'll have you stand. We're going to pray for you tonight. Your mom is watching. Gina, one of our professors at the college, had major surgery this week. She's home and was taken back into the hospital this morning about 3 a.m. She's there tonight watching, and I want you to pray for her. Our Father, we do pray for our sister Gina. She's a wonderful, godly lady. Brother Jason, we thank you for the Sousleys, how they have lived for 20-some years on the second floor of a little apartment building and raised three girls, all married Bible school graduates, and all are serving thee from that apartment. They never complained. I pray for Gina, you touch her body tonight. I thank you for Jonathan, how you saved him, and how God, Brother Bill Bryson, had such an impact on his life. And then how this church continued to mold him through Golden State Baptist College and his precious wife, graduate of our elementary or junior high school college. use them to with my dear, dear friend, Brother Harold. I pray that great things would happen there. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel 17. In 2 Samuel 17, we'll see the story this evening of a very sad situation. I believe that it is my responsibility to do my very best to get this generation ready for eternity and get you ready for perhaps difficult days ahead. Someone said we're 100 days away from the election, texted me this morning. And I'll tell you what, we live in a very wicked world. And yet I'm not going to let this world take my joy. I don't want government to take my courage. I believe everything is going to be okay. I believe we're a breath away from eternity. And God knows all about that. But I want to be a happy camper on the pathway of life. You come to my office and you say, well, I tell you what, I don't like you, and I don't like you, and I don't like you. I'll agree with you. I said, if you only knew that, I'm not going to be drawn into an argument. I'm not going to be drawn into competition with anything. I want these days of my life to so glorify God that one day he said, well, son, your job's over. I'm going to take you into my presence. I hope it's by way of the rapture. That's what I hope. I hope I get to go with you in the same load. And on the heaven. But I'm going to say some things about journey tonight. And we begin with the story of Absalom and David. And in chapter number 17, and really if you had time this week, if you'd read 16, it goes along with it. Chapter 17, moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom. Now I want to stop there as we work our way through the scripture and give you a message. Ahithophel was David's right-hand assistant. He worked for David a lifetime. It'd be like Brother Luke Flood or Brother Panera sitting right here, or Brother Andy Harrell that sat, and just as close as, and these men as well, close could be. David's son Absalom was a rebel. He wanted to kill his own dad. And now Ahithophel, David's right-hand man, is talking to the rebel. Things like that confuse me. How can you turn on someone that's been there all these years of your life? I don't understand it. And the Bible said, Ahithophel said to Absalom, let me now choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. Your dad, I'm going after him. I've worked with him, I'm his right-hand man, but now I'm going to go after him. Now I will come upon him while he's weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it. These 12,000 men and I'm going to do it. You know the story because I preached it many years ago. Ahithophel had a grandbaby. There's something about those grandbabies. I tell you, when they come, those little babies come into your life, or those little grandbabies, you kiss them on the cheek, and just kiss them, hug them, and especially get that baby fat. Now, I'm not a weirdo, don't worry about all that, but it's just so beautiful. Ahithophel is seeing his little granddaughter. She's so pretty. I think he had aspirations for going to kindergarten, and going to high school, and graduating, going to Bible college, or growing up, and then her wedding, had it all in vision. By the way, Ahithophel's granddaughter had a beautiful name. It was Bathsheba. And David, in a moment of weakness, took that man's granddaughter. She was married, and he defiled her. And they had a baby, and the baby died. And then her husband was killed in battle, of course. There had to be a root in Ahithophel's life. And that root was a root of bitterness toward David, though he worked next to him. He waited for the day I'm going to pay back. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's no room in the Christian's life for bitterness over anything or anyone. Well, they have wronged me. Well, stand in line. Don't go in the ministry if you expect it's going to be an easy road and everybody's going to love you. Doesn't work that way. Don't go in any leadership position and think they're all going to laud you. Ahithophel waited, and he waited, and he waited. And there must have been some times in cabinet meetings that it was okay, but he always had that root, always had that thought. And Ahithophel said, I'm going to take care of him. What he did to me, what he stole from me, he stole my granddaughter. And David, I'm going to kill him. I can't fathom verse 4. I cannot fathom it. And the saying pleased Absalom. You know that little baby that you're holding right now? Can you imagine that baby growing up and then that baby saying, I want to hire you to kill my dad. Will you kill my dad for me? I just can't imagine that. I can't imagine a child betraying a parent or a parent betraying a child. I just can't, I can't wrap my mind around it. If you're single and going to get married and have kids, your kids are going to hurt you. I promise you that. And that's no test. My kids are talking to Tim on the phone last night. I love my kids so much. And our grandkids, they call me and text me all the time. We're so blessed. But I guarantee it, most of us in this room, you will have kids that won't talk to you, or grandkids you're not permitted to see. It's going to break your heart. And the Bible says, the saying pleased Absalom well, and the elders of Israel, and said to Absalom, call now Hushai. Uh-oh. That's the other associate to David. Hushai and Ahithophel were cabinet members. They served with David a lifetime. They were boyhood friends. They were together the entire journey of life. And Absalom, the rebel, says, I want my dad's right-hand man, Absalom, Ahithophel, and I want his other right-hand man, Hushai. I would think that they say, I'm not coming. I love David too much. I'm not coming. But no, not these guys. And Hushai was come to Absalom. Absalom spake unto him after this manner. Shall we do after his saying or not? Shall we follow the advice of Ahithophel? I want a second opinion. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel said hath given is not good at this time. It may be good, but not right now. And Hushai said, thou knowest thy father. And he begins to talk about him. And he says, you know, verse 10, he's valiant and he's got men with him. It's not the right, and verse 14, the counsel of Hushai is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel's out on a limb. He made a decision. I'm going to kill him single-handedly. And now they reject him. He's lost. Look what he says. Look what the Bible says, verse 23. When Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city. He put his house in order. He hanged himself and he died. Bathsheba's grandpa hung himself. I want to tell you some things tonight about life. Life is about betrayal. Life is about sadness. Life is about trusted friends that you've loved for a lifetime, and they'll turn on you. That's life. And I'm not the only way. Everyone here with any age on, you've experienced it. I want you to know tonight, I believe I can help you with your course. I really believe I can help you with your journey, because as you get older in life, I can tell you by experience, it doesn't get easier. It gets more difficult to say, well, then why give up? Because the blessings are great. Amen. And you begin to realize, I'm not serving man anyway. I'm serving God. Amen. And I want the approval to be on the hand of the mouth of God, the lips of God. Yeah, you run a good course and you kept the faith and you finished your course. And now that henceforth is laid up, I want to please my Savior first of all. But life gets harder. It doesn't get easier. There's hurt. There's sorrows. There's shattered dreams. There's a betrayal. When the things you gave your life to fell apart, you're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow, grief, and pain. But the Master promises sunshine after rain. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. I'm preaching a message. I stole the title from my dear friend, preached in his pulpit. I was at his funeral, helped conduct it with Brother Joe Arthur in Atlanta. Raymond Hancock. Raymond Hancock, like all my good preacher friends. I've got the letters. All my dear friends. Lee Robertson and Bobby Robson, Jack Hiles and Tom Malone and Lester Orloff, John Rice, and all the great, great preachers of yesteryear. I got all those men, and they're all home with the Lord. Brother Raymond Hancock. The last of their ministry was the most difficult. They had more betrayals at the latter end. One of those men stood up on Easter Sunday morning and said, I want to preach tonight, this morning on Easter Sunday, and 450 people after 45 years in that church, they stood up and walked out with another staff member. One man that spent nearly 60-something years in his church, he stood up to preach on a Sunday morning. And he said, I wanted to, about 450 walked out with a staff member, started another church. J. Frank Norris, the two largest churches in America. And I had such betrayals of the people that worked right alongside with them. And then he was getting older, and he put his leadership into his hand of his son. He was 72, and they began to make some changes, and his son began to pastor the church, and then his son wanted to go a different direction, and he pulled out 350 people in one Sunday and began another church, and his dad supported the other church nearby. Every preacher I know that finished their course, they had sorrows. Raymond Hancock was facing a lot of sad, sad things. And he preached from this pulpit. He said, I just believe I'll go on anyway. And I want to speak for these few moments. I just believe I'm going to go on anyway. It's amazing. See, if you're not careful, well, I'm old, and, you know, life is so terrible, and people are so fickle, and da, da, da. No, no, I look at that choir, having the time of my life watching them sing. I'm not analyzing the choir. I'm loving the choir. Having an orchestra back here, trumpets down here, and it's summer, and yet, what big crowds, and it's amazing. I'm loving hearing the music. I love hearing that specials tonight and this morning. I love it. I love going to church. I love offering. I love it when the pastor stands up and says, here's an opportunity we can give to. I think, praise God, I like that preacher. He gives us opportunities. Amen. I love church. Amen. I love this church. I love this building. I love walking in this building when it's dark and they just emergency lights on, and that pulpit cross is always lit 24 hours a day. I walk through here, just the smell of the building. Every building has a smell, and it smells like North Valley Baptist Church. Just has that smell. I like to look at this thing. I love to walk around here. I love sometimes in the early mornings to walk the hallways of the building here. You know, God's been so good. I'm not going to die as a grump. I refuse. I just believe I'm going to go on anyway. Offerings are up. I'm going on. Offerings are down. I'm going on. I'm going on. Hey, when they're down, I'm going on. When decisions are up, I'm going on. When the decisions are down, I'm going on. I'm not gonna let anything take it from me. I don't like anything on the internet. People attacking, people complaining, people. I can always tell when something's going on because I start getting texts praying for you, Brother Treiber. Hang in there, Brother Traber. Don't quit, Brother Traber. I know this will pass too. I think, oh boy, what's happening? And then someone always says, why are they saying that? Don't tell me what they're saying. I don't care what they're saying. There's a purpose why I never learned the internet. And that's one. Say what you want to say. Tonight, I not only know, as you turn to 2 Timothy, please, chapter 3, and we'll get back to this, and I won't be long. But I also know that with age comes betrayal. But I also know with the last days comes betrayal. I want you to see in the day we live together, whether you're young or old, this is the day we're living in. 2 Timothy 3, this know also in the last days. What kind of days are they going to be? That's the next two words. Perilous times. Savage. Drag queens. At the Paris Olympics, apparently. Scoffing and mocking the Lord's Supper. And then Jill Biden comes out. She says, I thought it was spectacular. Well, Jill, you're a fool. That's a fool. They did that to Muhammad. You wouldn't be saying that, sister. Something's wrong with your Christianity. If that's what you say you have, something's wrong with your Christianity. That's blasphemy to our God. Perilous times, savage times shall come. Here's the root. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Say it together. Ready? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. It's all about me, my selfie. I want my selfie to be taken care of. I am in charge. I'm not listening. I'm not gonna obey the Bible. I won't obey preachers. I won't obey parents. I am gonna do what's good for me. That's a foolish way to live. That's the day we live in. It's all about me. That's why we have road rage. It's about me. I'm not letting you. Ms. Treber and I laugh because I try more than ever to turn the turn signal on when I'm turning lanes. That's one of the most dangerous things you can do. It's like, no, you can't come in my lane. That is my lane. I'm going to speed up. I'm not going to let you in. That's my lane. I have to have my lane. No, turn that turn signal off. I need to see a therapist. I need medication. You're trying to get in my lane. No! Idiots! Let them in! And I see someone turn the turn signal on, that's rare in itself. My first thing is the brake. Slow down, let them in. Yeah, but they'll be 10 feet ahead of me. So? The next car is going to have the accident. They'll have the accident. You're going to go through. Lovers of our own selves. I don't care if I hurt my wife. It's about me. I don't care if I hurt my husband. It's about me. I don't care if I hurt my kids. It's about me. I don't care if I hurt the church. It's about me. I don't care if I have a bad example and test. I don't care. You know, it's about me. I've lived in fundamentalism so long, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't smoke. I couldn't drink. I couldn't get drunk. I couldn't drive drunk. I missed out on everything. Lovers of their own selves, and he begins to tell us what that all means. It means covetous. It means covetous. I want more. I just need more. I need more for me. Then the word is boasters. Boaster is to be a pretender. Don't pretend. Just don't pretend. My wife's looking at me. I just can't get my breath for a second here. I'm going to get it. I'm not having a heart attack. I just got to get my breath. Can't get my breath. Okay? Why don't for the next 30 minutes every head be bowed and every eye closed? And I'm trying to get my breath. I'm not trying to preach it. Boasters. Boasters means I pretend. Don't pretend. Bobby Robertson, he said, be real. Sweet man. Eighth grade education, just be real. Stop the phoniness. And then he said, proud. I'm superior to you. That's what proud people do. They think I'm more important than you are. Why in the world would that wife ever marry you? That should be your attitude. Why in the world would my wife ever reach down to someone, just got it, oh good, someone like me? Why would she do that, Brother Manuel? And I know you live that way. Why would your sweet wife ever reach down to someone like you? And Manuel, I think the world of you. In life, you're not the superior one in the home. I was talking to Brother Doug and Wilda. I love to come in. I love watching Brother Doug lift those hands up, throws his head back, just every song. It's my Sunday night. You're rarely missing, but if you're missing to go see grandkids, I think, why do they have to go see those grandkids in Los Angeles? I'd rather have them here. I was telling, Wilda always defends my wife. I said, no. She looks that way at church, but let me tell you, at home, it's a whole different story. She's throwing things at me, and she's yelling at me, and she said, I'm not believing that. Oh, you ought to believe it. I mean, scars here, scars here, scars here. It's just one thing. She sits there so sweet and spiritual. And that's exactly what she is. I said to them, I said, she's put up with a lot with me. God's word says that when we're lovers of ourselves, we're boasters, we're proud, we're blasphemers. That's speaking evil of people. Don't speak evil of people. And disobedient to parents, children, don't just obey. Teenagers, obey your parents. How hard is that? Yeah, let me help you with something. You'll probably outlive your parents, so you'll be done with them. You'll be just done with them. You won't have to put up with them. And you're going to miss them. When my wife's mother died 54 years ago this October, we didn't have cell phones and we didn't have video cameras and all those. She goes, I don't even remember what my mother's voice sounds like. I wonder, she never went shopping one time with her mother to any store or anything, never bought a dress with her mother, never one thing. It was just not that era. But I would imagine that my wife would like to spend one day with her mom. Hey kids, your mom bothers you, your dad, you'll be rid of them pretty good. You'll get rid of them. You won't have to put up with them. I miss that sweet old man. O-L-E, not old, O-L-D. I just miss my dad and mother so much. I wish I could talk to them one more time. This stuff of being disobedient to parents, you're foolish, kids. Look what he says. Unthankful. A day of ingratitude. Everything, I deserve it. Unholy. That's just wicked living. Then he moves on to verse 3. Without natural affection. It literally means to be unlovely to the kindred and to your flesh. Truce breakers. What is it? You break covenants. You break agreements. False accusers. You attack others. How did you become judge and jury to get online and blast everybody? How did you become the great authority? What are you thinking? That's pride. I tell you what, if I was the pastor of that church, then go pastor one. See how easy it is. And get your two people, your mother and your dad, and then they're going to leave your church too because they won't like you. And then he says incontinent. There's no self-control. It's just out of control. And fierce, that's uncontrollable. And despisers of those that are good. Stop tearing down good people. And traitors, that is your betrayer. And heady, that means rash and reckless and high-minded. You're blind with pride. It's all about men. Lovers of pleasure. It's all about play. And having a form, you act like godliness. A form means to act like it, but you deny. There's 20 items, he said. That's what you're going to live in this day. These last days. That's what you're in. But I believe I'll go on anyway.
Amen.
I just believe I'm going to go on. I wonder in closing tonight, you don't have to turn there. I've enjoyed the songs of Ira Stanfield. Ira Stanfield died early in my ministry here at this church, but he was born, if I remember, I think something like 1909 or something like that. It's amazing when you read the songs in our songbooks. His songs are a lot of songs about heartaches and sorrows. It's like the fellow that wrote the song, Till the Storm Passes Over. He died at age 94 about 4 or 5 years ago. And he had a life full of sorrow after sorrow after sorrow. In the dark of the midnight. People write what they're going through. Of the midnight have I oft hid my face while the storms howl above me. Ira Stanfield wrote Jesus and Me. It was birthed out of the fact that he was in the ministry and married to a sweet Christian lady. And one day, the sirens began to ring, and she was in an awful car accident. And his wife was killed that day. You hear it in his songs that he writes. I traveled a long life's lonesome road. She died on the road. My burdens were heavy, and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus, not me and my wife, it's Jesus and me. For each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so to the end. Look like the second sentence. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gates. I know that it's narrow. I know it's straight. But Jesus is there and we'll travel along. Just Jesus and me. He wrote the song, and you don't need to turn there. I remember my mother and dad singing in church. They'd sing this one quite often. He wrote this one, and my dad would, I think it would all stand this, put his arm around my mom, and they'd sing duets. I'll never forget it. And my mother and dad used to sing this. Ira Stanfield, whose wife was killed, wrote this. Those shadows deepen. And my heart bleeds, I will not question the way he leads. This side of heaven, we know in part, I will not question. My broken heart, we'll talk it over in the by and by. We'll talk it over, my Lord and I. I'll ask the reason, he'll tell me why. When we talk it over in the by and by, the man's wife died in a car accident. He wrote this stanza, I'll hide my heartache behind a smile and wait for reasons till after a while. And though he try me, I know I'll find that all my burdens are silver lined. Brother Martinez, he wrote, he washed my eyes with tears, 553, that I might see. My broken heart I gave. He wrote songs like this, and I don't think he ever, he wrote, we're going to sing it together. One of these days to get brave. We sang it one time out there at the stadium. Unworthy, unworthy a beggar in bondage, and but he made me worthy. He wrote songs. He wrote, come home. Come home, it's supper time. I need you to sing that in the next couple of weeks, please, brother. That's a good old song. You know, he was writing songs about the experience of his difficult, difficult life he faced. He's all alone. He said, there's room at the cross for you. He said, I have to live there. I feel so, there's room at the cross for you. He wrote one day, because he kept thinking about heaven, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. He missed his wife so badly. I close with my life verse that I chose 2 years ago after all these years. None of these things move me. I tell you why I believe I'm going to go on, because I'm going to dig in. I'm going to dig in. None of these things move me. I'm going to anchor in. I don't want my last days over the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, whatever they may, I don't want them to be days full of grump and discouragement and politics and all the bad things, and God's people are so terrible. Oh no, I want to see people that I love and thank God for them, and sometimes they're up and sometimes they're down, but they've got to have a pastor that's up. I want to dig in. None of these things move me. Dig in. Dad, you're going to have to dig in. Second, neither can I my life dear to myself. I'm going to die to self. I'm going to dig in. These things don't move me. I'm going to die to self. None of these things move me. Neither can I my life dear unto myself. And then there's determination, so that I might finish my course. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to keep running. And one day, God's going to say, son, go ahead. Come on home. And the last thing I see in that verse, I'm not just simply going to dig in deep and die to myself and determination. Brother Sly, I'm going to have delight on the journey. Finish my course as a grump. Oh no. Brother Dan, I want to finish my course with joy. I don't want less singing. I want more singing. I don't want less preaching. I want more preaching. I don't want less fellowship. I want more fellowship. I don't want less giving. I want more giving.
Amen.
I want more opportunities to get the gospel, whatever it might be. I want to enjoy this thing. I want to walk with God more than ever before. I want to read my Bible. I used to get bothered. Why can't I sleep? Why can't I sleep? I'll be up tonight. I know I will. I must be nervous or whatever. He said, well, he giveth his beloved sleep. I must not be loved because he doesn't give me a lot of sleep. But I'm going to have a time tonight before the night is over. I don't know what he's going to talk to me about. I might sing a while tonight. We'll go to bed. I'll fall asleep on just like that. And 15 minutes later, I might be up. I might be singing tonight. I might just have a good time singing. I might have a good time reading my Bible tonight. I might have a good time planning something. I might have a good time, and 15 minutes later, sleep away. But I'm going to enjoy the journey. And I want to enjoy it with that lady. And those kids and those sweet grandkids, I want to enjoy it with you. We're out of time. Please stand up with me. I believe I'm going to go on. Imagine what it must have been like to have your son and Ahithophel and Hushai, your assistants. Imagine Brother Reimers having something like that happen. Brother Evertson, it happens, doesn't it?
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.